Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tumura Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the very top of Daf Chof Hey. There is a Dibur HaMaschil that could be found on the very last line of Chof Dalet Amud Beis, which had read, Yolda Tumtum V'Androgynous. The Mishnah had mentioned that if the animal gave birth to an animal of questionable gender, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Ein Kedusha Chola Alehen. Rashi points out that this comment of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that Kedusha is not chal on them is really going on everything in the Mishnah, not just the last phrase before that, but rather even concerning the matter of an animal that itself had been sanctified as a sacrifice. The Mishnah had mentioned that if someone designated the offspring, the embryo, the animal that as yet has not been born, as having some type of different sacrificial status than the mother, that it would take hold. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is expressing an opinion that Kedusha does not set upon the offspring that one attempts to label. If you notice the Rashi at the top, he says, Ein Kedusha Chola Alehem. Actually, before we learn the Rashi, let us learn the Gemara. Amai ein kedusha chola alehen. Why does Reb Shimon ben Gamliel say that sanctity does not set upon the as yet unborn offspring of the animals, including the animals that happen to have been sanctified themselves? The mother had been sanctified. So the Gemara answers: Kosova Reb Shimon ben Gamliel v'lodois kochim v'havyoson hein kedoshin. The offspring of sacrifices gain sanctity only upon birth. De'i salka daitoch mimei imon hein kedoshin. If one were to think that they gain sanctity from within their mothers, amai ein kedusha chola alehen, so why would sanctity not settle upon them? Ha tafsatinhu kedusha the imaihu. Well, is it not so that the mother that had been sanctified should take hold, that sanctity should take hold of the as yet unborn? Eloshma mino. So you see from here the fact that Rav Shmuel said that no kedusha settles upon them, that vlode kochim b'havyosun hein kedoshim, that the offspring of kochim only gain sanctity upon their emergence, upon their birth. Let us now look at the Rashi at the top. Rashi here is going on that which the Gemara had asked. Why is it that Kedusha doesn't set upon the offspring? Ein Kedusha Chalehem, v'afilu ametziosa nami koi. This question is focused on the middle section of the Mishnah, which we established in our previous shiur as dealing with an animal, the mother, that it already had been sanctified. The have vlodois kochim, and as such, the embryos that develop in them would be the offspring of kochim, and yet the afilu kedushas imon eino chola alehem, and yet according to Shmuel Liel, the sanctity of their mothers doesn't set upon the offspring. The hostam ein kedusha komar. He said as a general statement, there is no kedusha that is chal that sets upon the offspring. So So from this general statement of his Ein Kedusha Chaleihem, we see that Rav Shmuel Leal is not going just on the case of where the where the animal had given birth to a tumtum or androgynous, but Rav Shmuel Leal is going on everything in the Mishnah. So, in answer to that, why Rav Shmuel Leal says that Kedusha does not chal on the offspring, the Gemara answered is because Rav Shmuel holds that offspring gain their Kedusha only upon birth. Rashi says, Bahav Yosan Ksheno Lodin, when they are born. Vehilkoch Ein Shum Kedusha Chola Alehen Ksheno Lodin. Therefore, there is no sanctity that settles upon them when they are born. Ksheno Lodin Bali Mumin, in the event that they are born as having a blemish, as is in fact the case where the animal gives birth to a tumtum or androgynous, where the mother that had been sanctified as a sacrifice gives birth to a tumtum or androgynous. So even though the mother itself had been sanctified, these don't have any sanctity because she is in effect giving birth to a baal mum, a blemished animal, and there was no sanctity that set upon them while they were inside the mother. The next Rashi says, "Ha tafsatinu kedushas imon." If you were to think that the as yet unborn gain sanctity while in their mother's womb, so there would have been the sanctity of the mother that took hold of them. Mishas hascholas yitzirasa, kol purta purta kodesh. From the very, very beginning of their development, of their embryonic development, they would have already absorbed sanctity. Rather, you see that from the fact that the tumtum and androgynous are born, which are blemished, and it is said that they have no kedusha. This is because Kedusha, the only time Kedusha sets upon an unborn is when it is actually born. And in the case that it is actually born but blemished, so their sanctity doesn't set upon something that is blemished. So it had developed the blemish before it was born, and as it's born is the only chance for the sanctity to set upon it. And at that point in time, it's already blemished, so the sanctity doesn't take hold. The Gemara continues with another Tanaic opinion, the high Tano that we will see later, Sovar Vlode Kochim Mimei Imon Hein Kedoshin. The offspring of sacrificial animals gain sanctity already from within their mother's womb. The Tanur Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. You can see a framed section at the end of which the Gemara will point out after the frame, Almo Svirle Vlade Kochimei Mahim Kedushin. That's what we are aiming for. So in the meantime, we have a source that's going to darshan a posuk, that's going to expound on a posuk in Vayikra, Perek Chavzayin, Posuk Chavav. We have included it under our topic heading in the outside margin. You'll notice across from here in the outside margin, the Nosei, which represents our topic heading. Droshes HaPosuk B'Vayikra Chavzayin Posuk Chavav Shelem Milamedes Deloi Makdishim B'chor Behema L'Kedusha Acheres. This source will tell us that you don't sanctify a firstborn, don't dedicate it as another type of sacrifice. You don't impose upon it an alternative sanctity. Before we learn the Tanaic source itself, we've included the pasuk on the inside margin, Vayikra Chav Zayin Pasuk Chavov, where we've written, Ach b'chor asher yivukar l'ashem b'behemo lo yakdish ish oisoi im shor im se l'ashem hu. So now we turn to the Gemara reading again just the introductory line before, V'hai Tana Savar, the Tana that we're about to see holds, V'lode Kodshim Mimei Imon Hein Kedoshim. We've used this dashed underline to contrast this with the second line from the top where the Gemara mentioned that Rav Shulam Liel holds, V'lode Kodshim Bhav Yosan Hein Kedoshim. So the following Tana holds, V'lode Kodshim Mimei Imon Hein Kedoshim. They gain their sanctity already from their pre-birth state. The Tanu Rabbanan, Ilu Nemar, had the Pasuk said, Bechor lo yakdish, weaving out other words that you do actually find in the Pasuk. So Rashi says that had it written, Bechor lo yakdish, and not written, Ish oisoi, which it does in fact say, so Hoisi Oimer, I would have thought, that the Pasuk is saying, Bechor lo yakdish hekdeshos, that a firstborn human being, a firstborn man, shall not dedicate sacrifices. Talmud lomar, ish oisoi. Therefore, the Pasuk adds these words, oisoi I ato makdish. Avol makdish odom bechor hekdeshos. Oso means a bechor behema, you do not sanctify. It is itself a sanctified entity. It's a firstborn animal. That you don't dedicate or sanctify, but a Bechor Odom can dedicate sacrifices in general. V'adayin aniomer, however, I still want to suggest, hu lo yakdish, that the firstborn man cannot dedicate a firstborn animal and impose upon it a different sanctity. Avol yakdishu hu achirim. But other people could impose on a firstborn male animal some type of alternative sanctity. Talmud lomar babehemo. The pasuk says babehemo, babehemo asakti, that the whole pasuk is focused on animals, not talking about people. So there's no issue concerning a person, whether it be a firstborn human being or someone, some other human being, and their involvement. That's not the point of the pasuk. The focus is on the behema. Yochol lo yakdishenu bebeten. Could it be that when we say you don't impose an alternative sanctity on the firstborn, that that's true even before it's actually born, before it emerges? Talmud lomar asher yivukar lashem, mishivukar lashem I ato makdish. From the point that it's actually born, you do not impose some type of alternative sanctity. Aval ato makdish bebeten. But you can impose some type of alternative sanctity when it's as yet unborn. Yochol af vlode kol hakotchim kain. Could that be with regard to all other unborn offspring of other types of sacrifices? That you could impose some type of alternative sanctity on them? Talmud lomar ach cholok. The word ach is a minimizing word. In other words, that this halacha of imposing alternative sanctities to as yet unborn animals is limited to a firstborn animal. However, to the firstborn male animal, that lends itself to alternative sanctities. But other as yet unborn embryos in sanctified animals, they have the sanctity of their mother already, and therefore I cannot impose upon them some type of alternative sanctity. Almos svirule, we see that this Tana holds vlodei kochim, that the offspring of sacrifices, mimei inamon hein kedoshin, already from their mother's womb they have sanctity, and hence they've already gained the sanctity of their mothers, and therefore there is no room for me to impose upon the as yet unborn of other sacrifices some type of alternative sanctity. We have a question. You'll see we also have a long question marking that accompanies this. The question is in a Aleph O Dilma Bayes structure. You'll notice if you skim over the next few lines, you can see that we have the Aleph and then an O base, little base also. There's within this long question marking, there's a Lishna Achrina as well. There's a second version of the question that will appear with a Roman numeral number 2 next to it. So we now turn to the Gemara, or actually before the Gemara, let's not miss out on our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, where we've written She'ela, a question. Omar al Bechor Ba'odo Bebetin Imo. If one says regarding a as yet unborn firstborn male animal, and you say the following, Im Yitzias Rubo Yehe Oila, Oila Have, Oi Bechor Have, that upon the emergence of the majority, I want at that point Ola status to set upon the newborn, or will that take hold, or will it be a Bechor? In general, birth is established with the emergence of the majority. We're saying a very general topic without getting into details of emergence of head or majority of head. Just we'll speak about a majority. So that establishes birth. But he, this person, intervenes and says that before it's born, he makes this declaration that at the point the majority exits, I want it to have an alternative sanctity other than a Bechor sanct. I want it to have an Ola status. The Gemara. Omer le Rav Amram le Rav Sheshes. Rav Amram asks of Rav Sheshes, Omer al HaBechor. A person says regarding a Bechor while it's still as yet unborn. And he says, Im Yitzias Rubo Yehe Oila. I want to announce that, or dedicate, that upon emergence of the majority, it should gain, it should be labeled an Ola, an Ola sacrifice. So the two sides, the two possibilities are Oila Have, Oi Bechor Have. Does it become an Ola, or does it become a, or does it become a Bechor? Ola Have, and we skip the angular bracketed line based on the Gra. Does it become an Ola? Why? Shekein Kolil. Kolil means completely burnt. The nature of an Ola sacrifice, setting it apart, and almost, we may say, setting it higher than other types of sacrifices in terms of its sanctity, is that it is completely burnt. So maybe because of that feature, the Ola status will take precedence. Oi Bechor Have. Where do we say that it's a Bechor? De Choporta Uporta De Konofik Kokoyim B'mil Sehu. Every fraction of this animal as it was emerging in anticipation of becoming a Bechor. So that we can say that every fragment was in anticipation of Bechor status, and then when it reaches that majority point, it stays with that status. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Toward the lower part of the narrow lines, O Bechor Have, Shekein Kedushas Bechor Chola Al Kol HaBechoros De'almo Meirechem. Because in general, Kedushas Bechor sets upon all firstborn male animals as they emerge, as they are born. The Gemara continues, Lishna Achrina, another version, Shekein Kedusha Chaylo Alo, Oidilmo Bechor Have, Shekein Kedushoso Meirechem. Do we say that it becomes an Ola because this is the sanctity that the owner is imposing upon it? Or do we say that it is a Bechor because that is the status that it's expected to have as it is born? So the Gemara proceeds to answer this. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes responds, My Tiboy Aloch, what is bothering you? What is your question even? Lav Hainu Tiboy Ilfo, is this not the same issue, the same type of issue that Ilfo once asked, and he got an answer to it from Abaye? Omar Le, My tiboy aloch, lav hainu deboy ilfo. Is this not what Ilfo asked? Omar al haleket. A person said concerning leket. Leket is are grains, stalks of grain that when being harvested, they fall away from the hand of the harvester as he's cutting the stalks. So someone says regarding his harvest, he says, "Im nishiras rubo yehe hefker." Well, we didn't point out that leket is are stalks of grain that fall away while they are being harvested, and they remain in the field for the poor to come and collect. This field owner says that I am declaring the stalks of grain as the majority falls. At that point, as the majority of the stalk falls, I'm declaring it unowned, which is called hefker. The difference between leket and hefker is that leket is something that is available only for the impoverished, for the poor. Hefker is something that's declared unowned, and anyone, even people of means, could come and take hefker. So he declares, the owner of this field declares, that as any grain, the majority of which is falling away from the harvester, falling from in back of his hand, we'll say that when he comes to grab a cluster of stalks of grain and cut them, so he might miss one or two stalks, and as they fall, they become leket. They're called leket. So the harvester said, or the owner of the harvester says, that with the falling of the majority of any given grain, I want to declare it as hefker. Leket have o hefker have. Does it remain leket, or does it become hefker? Leket have shekein kedushas b'dei shamayim. Do we say that it's labeled leket because that's a divinely imposed sanctity? Oidilma hefker have shekein zeichin boyanim v'ashirim. Or do we say that it gains hefker status because it becomes available that way to more people, to the people of means as well as the impoverished? V'omar Abaye, and Abaye answered Ilfa and said, "My tiboy ale, what is in fact your question? Divrei harav, divrei talmid, divrei mishoymin." This is an expression that translated would be the words of the teacher or the words of the student. Who would you listen to? In this case, the analogy refers to the Almighty. Divrei harav is the words of the Almighty, who says that when rove of a stalk falls, it becomes leket. So who is to argue with that? What room is there for the person who is called the Divrei HaTalmid to declare it at that point as something else? Obviously, it wouldn't take hold. So Hachanami Divrei Mishomen. So too over here, where you have the owner of an animal saying, regarding the as yet unborn, that I want to declare that at the point that the majority emerges, it should be an Ola. Yeah, but at the point that the majority emerges, it becomes a Bechor. So there's no room for any other sanctity to set upon the animal at that very point. After all, the words of the Almighty will take precedence, and the Almighty declares that upon the emergence of the majority, at that point, it becomes born as a Bechor. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin under our No Se heading, where we have written, Hamaktish Ubar Shel Behemas Chulin Uberes. The person who dedicates the embryo, the offspring, the unborn of a pregnant Chulin animal. What happens? So our Mishnah says, Ha'omer Vlada Shel Zu Ola V'hi Shlomim. He is looking at currently a chulin animal, and a chulin animal that's pregnant. It's an unsanctified pregnant animal, and he declares, "I want the vlad of this to be an ola, and the mother to be a shlomim." Dvorov kayomin. So that declaration takes hold, and the vlad becomes what he said, an ola.
another situation. He says, "He shlamim uvlada ola. I declare the mother of shlamim and the offspring in ola. Hare ze vlad shlamim." Divrei Rebbe Meir. The vlad becomes a shlamim. Now, Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that tfos lashon rishon. We take what he said first. To appreciate this more, we glance at the Rashi, who is a bit involved, but Rashi says, where you notice the star, Avoim Omar, he shlamim bereisha. When he said he shlamim, he meant to say, lo ulechol diispa akdish. She and everything in it, I am sanctifying. The choshiv vlad lamakdish ve'ape nafshe. The sanctifier looks at the vlad as a separate entity. It's as if, though, he is sanctifying two animals as shlomim. V'chi hodar omar vloda ola. When he continues and says vloda ola, the offspring should be an ola. Have havlad shlomim. Nevertheless, the vlad is a shlomim because his first comment was he shlomim, and Rashi carefully explained that that really means he and everything in it. He is dedicating as a shlomim. Now, he changes his mind and says he wants the vlad to be an ola. That doesn't take hold. The vlad remains a shlomim. V'hocha, Rashi now gives a lot of interesting background or a general comment. He says, "Hocha lo shayich lemeimar." Here, it is not relevant. The points of behavyoson upon birth, velo b'meimon, or in its womb, as we saw in the previous sugya. The concept of it gaining sanctity only upon birth and not while inside, that's relevant to cases where a person sanctified a mother animal that was as yet unpregnant, was not pregnant yet. There, he wasn't imposing any sanctity on the offspring. Elo, in that case, it was gaining its sanctity through its mother. But our case, where a person is sanctifying a pregnant animal, chashiv ubar likbule kedusha, the ubar has enough separate identity to absorb kedusha. Rabbi Meir islay tfois lashon rishon. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion we take his first comment. Now, his first comment had been, as we said, I'm dedicating the mother and everything in it as a shlomim. So he's really dedicating two shlomims. Therefore, when he goes on to say, I want the vlad to be an olo, that's already a separate statement, but too late, so to speak, because he already said that he wants the vlad to be a shlomim. The Mishnah continues, Omar Rabbi Yossi Omer, im lekach niskaven tchila, if his original intent, when he approached the pregnant animal, he really intended for the mother to be a shlomim and the vlad an ola, hayo v'efshel likro shnei shemos ke'achas dvarav kayom, and since it's impossible to utter two sanctities in one statement, so what he says, that the mother should be a shlomim and the vlad an ola, that will take hold. Ve'im mishomare zu shlomim nimlach v'yomar vlad ola. If after he said, I want this to be a shlomim, he then changed his mind and said, I want the vlad to be an ola, hare zu vlad shlomim. The vlad will remain a shlomim. We glance at Rashi, who says, "Hoyol v'ef shulikro shnei shemos kechot she'en ha'pe yochol ledaber shnei dvarim kechot." A person can't say two things at one time. Dvarav kayomin, that which he said, namely mother shlomim, offspring ola,
takes hold. The af bigmar dvarav adam nitpas, because a person's final or end statement also has significance. Hayol mitchilat shomar he shlamim lo niskabin levlada. Since when he originally said he shlamim, he had no intentions regarding the vlad. The Gemara. Before going into the Gemara, the topic heading that we have assigned to this piece reads as follows: under the and the outside margin, the Nosei, Dino Yishon Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish Chatas Muberes, a person who set aside a pregnant sin offering, Rotsa Bo Miskaper, Rotsa Bivloda Miskaper, he has the option of using either the mother or the offspring as his atonement. The Amrinon, Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, Im Shairo, Meshuyar, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Vlad, if he wanted to leave it aside, namely, he wanted to declare the mother a Chatos and the Vlad, the offspring, Chulin, that too would have taken hold. So that the, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Vlad is viewed as a separate entity. We turn to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish Chatos Meuberes Violda. Person who set aside a pregnant sin offering, and it then gave birth. Rotsa Bo Miskaper, Rotsa Bevloda Miskaper. The owner can either use the mother itself as his source of atonement or the offspring. My taima, why is this? Answer: Kosov Rabbi Yochanan im shairo mishuyar veubar lav yerech imohu. If he had wanted to shairo, to leave it aside, to leave it unsanctified, mishuyar, it would have remained unsanctified. Now, since he had this option of not sanctifying the Vlad at all, we see that the offspring is not considered an extension of the mother. And therefore, when he doesn't leave the Vlad aside, and, in other words, doesn't specify that the Vlad should be Chulin, it gains its own sanctity. It has its own sanctity, but not as a function of being the offspring of something that was sanctified. So therefore, it's not called a Vlad Chatos. A Vlad Chatos, the offspring of a Chatos, would be sent to die. However, that may be the case when you sanctified a non-pregnant Chatos, and it subsequently, after you sanctified it as a Chatos, a female animal, It then, after your sanctification, it then became pregnant. That would be a case of Vlad Chatos, which is set off to die. But not in our case, where you are dealing with a pregnant animal that you are sanctifying as a Chatos. So Rabbi Yochanan, we go on explaining Rabbi Yochanan, that says that the offspring is not considered an extension of the mother, but something of having its own identity. This is like a case, it's tantamount to someone setting aside two separate animals, one serving as a backup, achrayas, a backup or a guarantee for this owner, that if something should happen to one, you have the second one to serve as backup, at which point we say, rotza miskaper, bo rotza miskaper b'chaverta, someone who does set aside two animals to serve as achrayas, one for the other, we tell him, you have an option to use either this one or that one. And we're using this as a parallel to the case of someone having sanctified a pregnant animal as a chatos. Moisiv Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar raises an objection. A quote from our Mishnah: He shlamim uvloda oila. Person dedicated the mother as a shlamim, and then said the vlad should be an ola. Hare ze
Vlad Shlomim. And bear in mind, we explained the Mishnah that when he said he Shlomim, it means he v'choma shebesocha. V'isaka daitoch im shairo meshuyar. If Rabbi Yochanan's analysis is accurate, that one had the option of leaving the Vlad totally unsanctified, that would have taken hold, indicating to us that the Vlad has its own identity, the Lashon of this source that said, Hare Zev Vlad Shlomim, that isn't totally accurate. Hare Zu Shlomim Bo'i Misna. It should have said, Hare Zu Shlomim. The Vlad is itself a Shlomim, and not a function of it being the offspring of a Shlomim. So, from the Lashon of the Mishnah, we get the impression that the offspring doesn't have its own identity, unlike Rabbi Yochanan who said, Im Shairo Meshuyar. Omar Rav Tavla. Rav Tavla answers, says, Bar Mino Dehahi, besides our Mishnah, there are no questions. Namely, our Mishnah itself is not a question. Ha Omar Rav Latano, Rav said to the one saying over the Tanaic literature that this source itself is in error. Tani, it should have said, Hare Zu Shlomim. In fact, not have said Vlad Shlomim, but rather Hare Zu Shlomim. The offspring is a Shlomim on its own. Meisvei, we continue with another question. You'll notice that we have a long question marking. This question will bring into the discussion a seemingly unrelated topic, but we will tie them together as the Gemara goes on. We have a subtopic heading, a tatnose in the outside margin, Kushya al Rabbi Yochanan. We'll be raising a question on Rabbi Yochanan, May Hasugya Shel Meshachrer Vlad Shifcha, someone who attempts to declare as free the offspring or the as yet unborn child of a maidservant. Ha'omer l'shivchaso. Before we go further, though, we should point out that this question is a long question, and you'll notice it goes down Omid Beis quite a number of lines. And that's all indicated by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, ha'omer l'shivchaso. A person says to his maidservant, Hare at shivcha uvlodech ben chorin. You are to remain a bondmaid, but your offspring will be free. Im hoisa mi'uberes, if she is pregnant when the owner is saying this, zochsa loi, she will be able to acquire the freedom of her child on the child's behalf. And when the child is born, it will be a free person. E amris bishlamo im shairo eino meshuyar v'ubar yerech imoi. If you say that the Vlad is not a separate entity, but rather it's an extension, it's like the leg of the mother, it's yerech imoi. Mishum hachi zochsalo. Therefore, she has the power to receive on her child's behalf his freedom. In other words, the owner would write a document indicating the freeing of her child. The owner would hand this document to the mother, and the mother would be able to accept on behalf of her offspring the freedom. The havile kemeshacher chatzi avdo. This would be parallel to the case of someone who frees half of his slave. Umani, and in accordance with whom would this be taught? Rabbi Meir, he in accordance with Rabbi Meir, Kidisanya. What we're saying will become clear as we continue now to the top of Amud Beis. What does the source say? We have a Tanaic source, a line and a half, you can see in a frame. HaMashachir Chatzi Avdo, someone who frees half of his slave. Yaitse L'Cherus, it takes effect. How does that take effect? Gito v'yodoy boyin ka'achas. His get, meaning his declaration of freedom, v'yodo in his hand, meaning his self-identity, as opposed to being a slave, which is the possession of the owner, but his self-identity comes at the moment that he is receiving this document of release. That's gito v'yodoy boyin ka'achas. We look at the Rashi at the top. Hamashacher chatzi avdo, kono lechetzio, v'havei chetzio ben chorin. He becomes half freed. That means he'll work every other day on a staggered basis for the owner. Every intervening day will be his own. For him, he'll work for himself. V'afapi shelo shichro kulo, even though the owner didn't totally free this person, yeshlo yad lekabel esgito. He has enough inherent identity to accept the document of release. The gito v'yodo boyin ke'echad. His own self identity comes at the very time that he is receiving the document of release. So far we are saying that the Tanaic source, where someone says to a Shivcha that you remain a Shivcha and your offspring will be a free person, if he was talking to a pregnant woman, a pregnant bondmaid, she, in effect, can receive on behalf of her offspring this letter of freedom. Ela, I Amris Shairo Meshuyar, Ubar Lav Yerech Imohu, if you say that the offspring is considered a separate entity, and that the ubar, the embryo, is not the leg of its mother. It's not an extension of the mother, but it's its own entity. Amai zoch solo. How can the mother accept a bill of freedom, a document of freedom for her offspring? Va'tanya. We have the following teaching. Before we read the source itself, let us mention the main point. The main point is that if a person owns two slaves and he writes a bill of freedom, a document of release, and hands this document to one of his two slaves and says, "Take this on behalf of your fellow slave," the fellow slave does not become free. This act would be tantamount to taking something from your right pocket and putting in your left pocket. Since the two slaves are owned by one man, giving the bill of freedom to one of the slaves is like giving it to himself. He's receiving it on behalf of someone else that is also under the same ownership, and that does not enable freedom to take place. So let us see this in the source for Hatanya. Nirin sheeved zoche lekabel get shichur shel chavero miad raboi sheino shelo. A slave could receive a document of freedom on behalf of someone else's slave, as long as he's not accepting it from his own master but from someone else's master. So a slave could receive a bill of freedom on behalf of a slave that is not his fellow slave. However, a slave cannot accept a bill of freedom, a document of freedom, on behalf of a fellow slave.
because under those circumstances we say that the hand of the Eved is like the hand of his master. So the master isn't demonstrating freedom by giving the bill of freedom away to some outside entity. He's just giving it to his own slave, and as we said before, it's like taking something from your right pocket and putting it in your left pocket. Yet we see, Elo Shma Mino, from the case of the man talking to his pregnant bondmaid, and seeing that in the source, the bondmaid receives a bill of freedom, a document of freedom, freeing her child, and when it's born, it will not be born to servitude. So, Shma Mino, Im Shairo, Eino Meshuyar. That the analysis of a pregnant entity, in this case a pregnant bondmaid, demands us saying that the Vlad is not a separate entity. Because if it were a separate entity, you would have, in effect, two slaves owned by one person. And one slave cannot receive the freedom on behalf of a fellow slave. Rather, we have to analyze the case as saying Shairo Eina Meshuyar, and it's rather similar to someone freeing his own slave in half, partial freedom. Elo Shma Mino Im Shairo Eino Meshuyar, from the fact that we saw in the source regarding the man talking to his pregnant bondmaid, that Zochsa Lo, so we have to say Eino Meshuyar, Utyufta de Rabbi Yochanan, and this would appear to be a, is this to appear then as a rejection of Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara says, Tyufta, yes, in effect, this case of Meshachrer, you know, Vlad Shibchaso, is a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan's analysis, viewing the offspring, Rabbi Yochanan viewed the offspring as a separate entity, which we termed Im Shairo Meshuyar. Here we see no, the Vlad is not a separate entity, and therefore you would not say Im Shairo Meshuyar. On the surface, it would then appear to, it would appear that at this point, if a person had set aside a Chatas Muberes, the Vlad would be, the offspring would can be considered a Vlad Chatos, whose implications are that it would then be set aside to die. But that's something that one would have to look into more to see how far this actual rejection of Rabbi Yochanan is to be taken. Let us continue in the Gemara. We notice a new geometric form. We have a diamond, and on the outside margin under our Nosei, Mivneh heading, we see a diamond featured. These represent Nisyonos Lahamid Hagisha Im Shair Meshuyar Kemachlokas Tanoim. We want to investigate that maybe Rabbi Yochanan's approach could be found as a, could be explained as a Tanaic controversy. In other words, some Tanoim would agree with that and others would disagree. Lema represents a question. Is, can we say, and it's a long question, you can see we have a long question marking the shin that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line indicates the length of this question. Lema im shairu meshuyar tanoihi. Should we say that this concept of leaving the vlad of a pregnant animal as separate, as chulin, when you are dedicating the mother, and that taking hold, is a tanoihi, means a machlokes tanoim. Now, we've double underlined the expression tanoihi to emphasize that that's the thrust of these questions, as will be seen later as well. The Gemara. Lemo im shayr meshuyar tanoihi desanya ha'oimer l'shivchaso hare at bas chorin uvlodech eved. One turns to his bondmaid and says, you are free, but your child will remain a slave. Vlado kamoha, divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. The Vlad will be like her, meaning freed. V'chachomim omrim, Dvorov Kayomen. That which he said takes hold, that she is free and the Vlad is a slave. Now, it says here, Mishum Shenemar, if on the very surface it would look like what's going to be quoted now is a support to the Chachomim. However, the Gemara itself will point out that's not the case, so we'll just read this, not emphasize it just yet. Mishum Shenemar, Ho'isha of Yoledeo, Tiel Adoneha. We will de-emphasize the Pasuk for the moment, and just note that we have a bracketed section of Gemara. After the brackets, the Gemara says, my lav. The brackets are indicated by, also by a bracket length indicator. To see how many lines are in the brackets, you glance to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a vertical descending dashed dotted line. And on the line where this marking ends, the in the middle of that, you see the bracket closes. So after this bracketed section, the Gemara says, my lav behal komiflegi. Is it not so that the following is the analysis of the machlokis between Rabbi Yossi Glil and the Chachamim? The Rabbi Yossi Haglili Savar, Rabbi Yossi holds, Shairo Eino Meshuyar, leaving over, or attempting to view the Vlad as something separate from the mother, is not so. Shairo, trying to leave it aside, Eino Meshuyar. Rather, it's considered Yerech Imo, and therefore it's an extension of the mother, and if he declared the mother to be free, the Vlad goes along with the mother. And the Rabbonon, Savri Meshuyar, the Rabbonon who say that what he said takes hold, indicates that the Vlad is Meshuyar, is considered left aside, meaning a separate entity. Now, let's go over this Gemara. Again, we skipped a bracketed section. After having read in the source that the Chachomim say Dvorav Kayomin, which means that the mother will be free and the Vlad will be a slave, the Braisa then quoted Mishum Shneimar Ho'isha V'Yilodeo Tielano Neho. The mother, along with the offspring, they go together to the master. Kraw, the Gemara asks in the bracketed session, my Talmud al Rabbanon. How does this pasuk support the Rabbanon's idea whereby the mother is viewed as something separate from the offspring, or more precisely, the Vlad is separate from the mother? This pasuk doesn't seem to indicate that. This pasuk, if anything, it links the mother together with her offspring. Omar Rava. Rava says, you know, you're right. Kraw l'Rabbi Yossi Haglili. The posuk here is really to serve as a basis for Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Dekotani vlada kamoha. Here's a restructuring of that source. Rabbi Yossi Haglili said vlada kamoha. The Vlad will be like the mother, and if he dedicated the mother as free, the Vlad goes along with her. Shinemar isha v'yiladeo ti ladoneha. Bizman shisha ladoneha, when the mother is enslaved, she's under the control of a master. Vlado Ladonel, the Vlad also goes with her. However, if the mother is not Ladonel, like we saw by Rabbi Yossi Haglili, where a person had freed the mother, then we don't say that they go together. So that when is it that the Vlad is a slave? That's when the mother is a slave. However, if the mother is not a slave, so the Vlad is not also not a slave. And that's what Rabbi Yossi Haglili said, that one who is Meshachrer, the mother, even though he declared that the Vlad should be a slave, no, the Vlad goes free with the mother. That's learned from an inference in this pasuk. And as we saw before, my lav, behal komifli, what then is the point of difference or controversy between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and the Chachamim? The Rabbi Yossi Haglili Savar, Shairo Eino Meshuyar. When you attempt to label the Vlad, the embryo, as something else, to leave it aside from whatever that you had spoken about concerning the mother. No, Eino Meshuyar, it's not left aside. It goes along with the mother. Therefore, when he frees the mother, the Vlad, the offspring, will go along with her.
Rabbanan Savri Mishur. The Rabbanan say no, that you can leave the Vlad aside and treat it separately from the mother. Therefore, the Rabbanan held, if you dedicate the, or declare the mother to be free, that works for the mother. But the Vlad is separate, and he withholds the Vlad for himself, and it remains an Eved. So, is this not the case, that this very point of Shairo Mishuyor Eina Mishuyor is a Machlokes Tanoyim? Therefore, that which Rabbi Yochanan said, Shairo Mishuyor, would conform to the opinion of the Rabbonon. Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us, "Dekuli alma im shairo mishuyor." As far as these tanoim are concerned, they both agree, like me, that if you leave the vlad aside, it will be separate. It will be viewed as separate. V'hocha haynu taimo deRabbi Yosi Haglili. And here we have to explain why Rabbi Yosi Haglili says that the vlad is not viewed separately. The omar kro ho'isho v'ildelti. In the case of a bondmaid with her offspring, there's a gzeiras hakosuv. There, the Torah scripture sets the rule with regard to a shivcho and her offspring. However, with regard to pregnant sacrificial animals and your ability to leave to declare the vlad as something separate from the mother, that does take place. And just to review ourselves, and as far as the pasuk of Isha Vlad, that's a gzeris akosuv when it comes to bondmaids. Lemo ki hani tanoi. Once again, we have a long question, and we have an attempt here to suggest that which Rabbi Yochanan teaches is a machlokes tanoim. The sanyo hashechid es achatos umotzo bo ben Dalid Chai. Someone slaughtered a sin offering, and there's a certain havamina right now, a certain basis of assumption we must make, that he sanctified a pregnant korban chatas, a pregnant sheep, and dedicated the pregnant sheep as a chatas. He then slaughtered it and found in it, this is as yet unborn, a 4-month-old embryo. A gestation period for sheep is 5 months. So he found in it a 4-month pregnancy that's alive. Tony Chada, one source says, Ein necheles ela lezichrei kuhuna. This offspring must be eaten only by male kohanim. Ve'eno necheles ela liyom echad, and its time frame in which to eat it is 1 day. Ve'eno necheles ela lefnim min hakloyim, and it can be eaten only within the temple courtyard. Giving the vlad all of the characteristics of a korban chatos. V'tan yidach, another source says, necheles l'chol adam, the offspring is ben dalid chai, the offspring, the embryo, can be eaten by anybody, v'necheles b'chol mokam, in any place, v'necheles l'olam, and can be eaten as long as you want, doesn't have any time restriction. The second source thereby looks at the vlad as a, seemingly looks at it, the vlad as a separate entity. So my lav, tanoihi, are we not to say that this issue of im shairo mishuyar is a machlokes tanoim? Before we go on, the triangles here are explained in the outside margin, under our mivne heading, gishos. These are approaches, different approaches. Lahasbir shnei abrises mivoyis kan binyan shochat chatus umotzabo ben dalet chai. To explain these two sources that we've squiggled, underlined, and labeled aleph and beis. The triangles here represent different approaches to explain the controversy. So the first approach is part of our long question. So is this not a tanoi, a machlokes tanoim, meaning Rabbi Yochanan's din seems to be a machlokes tanoim? The Tanakamo Sovar, Shairoi Mishuyar. The Tanakama holds, and the way we're reading this Gemara is according to Rashi and the Girsa that you find in the Bach. The Tanakama that said that the offspring is treated as a korban chatos,
with all of its restrictions, this as yet unborn, this ben dalet found inside the mother, seems to have all these chatos characteristics. That must be a function of the concept of shairo meshuyar. If we look in the Rashi, you'll find the Rashi in the upper third of the page. My lav beha pligi. The Tanakama de mashvi le toiras chatos. The Tanakama who views the ben dalet chai, this 4-month pregnancy live embryo, as if it were a chatos, kosovar, he is of the opinion im shairo meshuyar. If you had wanted to leave it aside as something else, as chulin, that you could have done. The kevon de choshiv ki behema ban penafsha, since it's viewed as a separate entity, ki lo shire nami, where he didn't actually leave it aside as something else, but he dedicated the mother, though he had an option to dedicate it as something else. So when he doesn't exercise that option, nami chaylo aleh kedusha bebetin, it nevertheless gains sanctity while still yet unborn, because it's viewed as a separate entity capable of absorbing kedusha. The Gemara goes on. Umar Sovar, the second source that we labeled Beis, would hold Shairo Eino Meshuyar. And for this we go back to the Rashi. V'tana Basra, the Mashvi Le Turas Chulin, the second opinion that viewed that Ben Dalid Chai as Chulin, Sovar Im Shairo Eino Meshuyar. The Lo Choshiv Kebehema Ba'anpe Nafsha, it's not viewed as a separate entity. Elo Yerech Imohu, it's an extension of the mother. Umachmas Imohu the Kodesh, Kishar Vlodos Kodshim, and as a result of the mother, it would gain whatever sanctity it might gain. Vahi Kedusha Lo Nochdolo Ad Shas Leda. Sanctity of offspring don't set upon them until they're actually born. The Sphira Lon Vlodos Kodshim Bav Yoson Hein Kedoshin Velo Kodem, that they would gain their sanctity only upon their actual birth. So at this point then, we are suggesting that the Aleph and Beis sources that we squiggle underline within this framed section represent that the issue of Rabbi Yochanan of Shairo Meshuyar is a Machlokes Tanoim, where the first opinion says Shairo Meshuyar, and the second opinion would be saying Shairo Eino Meshuyar. Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds and says, Dekule Almo Im Shairo Meshuyar. All Tanoim would agree with me, namely Aleph and Beis would agree with me, that had we been discussing the sanctification of a pregnant animal, then the offspring is a separate entity and could have been left aside, could have been left as unsanctified. And if he didn't specify that, then it's viewed as a chatos, but on its own merit. So what's the machlokis here? Vahani tanoi b'ho komifligi. Here you see the triangle used again to point out what the hesber of the machlokis tanoi, what is the explanation of the machlokis tanoim really is. So these tanoim are arguing b'ho komifligi. And we have to preface here, as we've written between the lines, that we're talking about the sanctification of a mother of an animal and only later on became pregnant. The Morsovar, the second opinion, the Bay's opinion holds Vlode Kochim Bahavyoson Hein Kedoshin. The offspring gained sanctity only at birth. Prior to that, like is the case here, you shechted it before its birth. Therefore, it doesn't have the sanctity. Therefore, it's called chulin. Umor sovar, the Aleph opinion holds vlodei kotshin bei imon hen kedoshin. The offspring of holy animals gain their sanctity very early on as they are developing, and therefore, its Aleph source said that it has all the laws pertaining to a chatos, a sin offering. The Iboyasema, another approach to Aleph and Beis that were in the frame above, everyone holds Bahavyoson Hein Kedoshin, that offspring would gain their sanctity only upon birth. And yet, there's no lokashya. There actually is no problem. There's no difficulty here. There's no contradiction here. Kan b'shigdisha ulebesof nisabra. The source that says that the Vlad is not Kadosh, the second, the Beis. Beis is of the opinion, that, or not of the opinion, but Beis is featuring a case where he sanctified an unpregnant animal. Only later it became pregnant. And since it was never born, the offspring wasn't born because he shechted the mother, he slaughtered the mother, and found the embryo, the unborn inside. So it's chulin. Kan, the source Aleph that spoke about the Vlad being holy, that's Bishinis Abra Ulebesof Hikdisha. First it was pregnant and then he sanctified it. In other words, he sanctified a pregnant animal. And as we explained before, the Vlad at that moment, since he doesn't leave it aside, it gains its own sanctity, its own chatos status. Maskif lo Rava. Rava raises a question. This question lasts a few lines. You can see we have used a long question marking. Mimai de taimo de Rabbi Yochanan. Who is to say that the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, who had earlier mentioned someone who dedicated a pregnant animal as a chatos, that he has the option of using the Vlad as his source of atonement? Who is to say that the reason for Rabbi Yochanan is based on Imshairo Meshuyar? Now, let us point out that by having explained Rabbi Yochanan that way, we ran into a big problem from the case of the Shifcha, the bondmaid whose owner declared her offspring to be free. And we said Zoch Solo. That whole analysis before led us to the conclusion that Im Shairo Eino Meshuyar. And that posed a difficulty for Rabbi Yochanan that we had explained as saying Shairo Meshuyar. Who's to say that that's really the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan? Dilma, Hainu Taimo de Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe the basis of Rabbi Yochanan concerning one who dedicates a pregnant animal as a chatos, and he said that you could use the offspring, isn't because the offspring is a separate entity, but rather the Adam Miskaper Beshvach Hegdish. That a person has a right, that the Torah gives a right to a person to achieve atonement through the improvement, through the benefits of Hegdish. What do we mean, the benefits of Hegdish? He dedicated a pregnant animal, so the produce, the product of that animal is its offspring. And therefore, even though it gained its Kedusha through its mother, it's not set aside to die because of this concept, Adam Miskaper Beshvach Hegdish. Omar Le Rav Hanuna. The question was raised by Rabbi Abba. So Rav, we should say by Rava. Rav Hanuna responds. He says, Rabbi Elazar Talmide de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. V'yosiv l'kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. And he sat in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. And according to Rashi, Rabbi Elazar raised this as a question. He had raised the case of the Shifcha and the freeing of the Vlad. V'lo ahadirle hai shinuya. Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer this. Didn't answer the question by justifying his own position as Odom Miskaper Bishvach Hegdish. the At Amris Taimed Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Dodem Meskaber Bishvachei Kedush, and you are suggesting that that should be Rabbi Yochanan's reason? If Rabbi Yochanan himself didn't try to defend himself with this pshat, so how can you suggest that this would be the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's position? The Gemara continues. Im Mishomar Hare Zu Shlomim Nimlach Vichulei. We had spoken about someone who had dedicated a pregnant animal as a shlomim, and we explained that statement as the mother and anything inside of it as a shlomim. Then if he said, I want the vlad to be an ola, so we said it doesn't take hold. So the Gemara itself says, pshita vlodon shlomim. It's obvious that the offspring is a shlomim. That's what he did. That's what he initially said. Hello, call Amos the boy Mimlach. Would you even think that, well, whenever he wants to change his mind, he could change his mind? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah by saying that if a person said regarding a chulin animal that was pregnant, I want it and everything in it to be a shlomim? And the Mishnah says that if he then said, I want the offspring to be an ola, so it doesn't become an ola. Of course it doesn't become an ola. Do you think a person has the option to change his mind just whenever he wants? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Papa, Lo Nitzrucha, Ela, the teaching of the Mishnah is necessary, Sha'omar Besoch Kedei Dibur, that within the amount of time to say three words, it's a second or two, within that time frame called Toch Kedei Dibur, he changed his mind. Mahu Detema Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Domi V'hai Iyuni Ha Dekoma'ayin. One might have thought without the Mishnah that since his change of mind was so swift, he initially was really Ma'ayin means he was pondering, he was thinking about an alternative possibility, and then when you heard his change of mind, he actually came out with it, and it's all considered one continuum of thought, and therefore even though he initially said shlomim regarding the offspring, he could change his mind. Komashmala, no, we don't say all of that. And as a result, since his initial statement was, I want the mother and everything in her to be a shlomim, it remains a shlomim. Before going on with the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. We see a machlokis, Reb Yossi, Reb Meir v'Reb Yossi v'Oimer, a controversy between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi regarding someone who says, Hare zu tmuras ola tmuras shlomim. The Mishnah. Harei zu tmuras oilo tmuras shlomim. Now we're talking about a case where a person has a chulin animal, and in front of him he's got an ola and a shlomim, two sacrifices. And he says this. He says, I want this chulin to be a tmuras ola and a tmuras shlomim. Rabbi Meir says, Harei zu tmuras ola, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir follows the opinion that we made reference to earlier, namely Tfos Loshon Rishon. And the first thing for him to have said was Ola. So it becomes a Tmuras Ola. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Lekach Niskaven Mitchila, if his intention was at the outset that two sanctities should settle upon this Chulin, and since it's impossible to say two things at one time, so what he said takes hold. Now, what practical benefit is that? So Rashi, second line from the very end, says Dvorav Kayomin, v'chetzio tmuras ola v'chetzio tmuras shlomim. The chulin animal becomes half Ola tmura, half shlamim tmura. V'tire atshitis doev. The animal then is then set aside to graze till it develops a blemish. V'timocher, it's sold, and you get money for it. V'yavi b'dmei chetzi tmuras ola, u'v'dmei chetzi tmuras shlamim. You'll have to use the money, and half of it you'll use for buying an ola, which will have a tmura status to it, and the other will have a tmuras shlamim status to it. Ubahachi askinon show you the fun of oilu shlamim kishehemir etz zubohen. As we mentioned earlier, this man enunciating the tmura had in front of him two kinds of sacrifices at that point. The Mishnah continues, V'im misha omar tmuras ola nimlach v'yomar tmuras shlamim. If after he said, I want the chulin to be a replica of the ola that's here, he then changed his mind and said tmuras shlamim, well, that doesn't take effect. Hare zu tmuras ola. It remains what he said initially. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.